Anthony Warwick, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, may I pass my congratulations and heartfelt appreciation for the Creswell family for their attendance today. Rosemary, it's great sitting next to you and hearing stories of your ancestry and for the donation of the gifts here today, which are on display. As I always start a Navy presentation, I would like to start by saying what a great Navy day it is. I would also like to thank for the opportunity to present today, to present the 2018 Creswell Oration, this time it's titled The State of the Fleet. And can I commence by expressing my sincere appreciation to the Navy League of Australia, the Navy Historical Society, the Naval Officers Club and the Naval Association. There are two particular people I would like to single out in the audience today. Two naval officers that have had a significant, indeed, I think a fundamental impact upon my career, and that's Commodore Warwick Gately, ex-commanding officer of HMAS Torrens and Adelaide, and Snow Victoria, Commodore Greg York, ex-commanding officer of HMAS Arunta. They probably don't realise, but I owe them a debt of gratitude for the way that they helped and shaped my career. My wife tells me, particularly with Commodore York, that he probably provided too much latitude to me when I was a young lieutenant commander. But I thank you nevertheless. I think the mic's gone, but that doesn't matter. I also have two very close friends sitting...
Yeah, I know.
So I'll probably just... I'll talk louder. Yeah. So I've also got two very close friends sitting on one of the table over here, Mr. Brendan O'Shaughnessy and Mr. Brian Rack, and I greatly appreciate their attendance today at this function. I normally start these by doing a day in history, and it's quite coincidental that 50 years ago today, HMAS Hobart II sailed from Sydney, Sydney Harbour, to Vietnam to undertake its second tour of duty on the gun line. We do know that tour a couple of months later in June had some fairly tragic consequences, but what I can state today, 50 years later, HMAS Hobart III is operating off the South Queensland coast conducting first-class flight trials. Oh, very good. Events like these, the one today, do hold monumental value and importance. Firstly, they honour the legacy that has come before us, and we can pay tribute to those people who have had a tremendous influence in the Royal Australian Navy and what it is today. Secondly, they give us the opportunity to come together and contribute to the story that did start 117 years ago. And for 18 years, this particular forum has gathered in a way to commemorate one of our most important and influential forefathers, Vice Admiral Creswell. But we gather here now more than just commemorating Creswell, and we commemorate the whole idea and spirit of the Navy and what it has contributed to Australia's national security and the narrative that is Australia today. Creswell did envision a Navy of grandeur, a Navy that has the ability to patrol our expansive seas, equipped with state-of-the-art technology, and a shipbuilding industry to advocate it. And as I will mention further in the presentation, though, he probably didn't fully grasp what the Navy of 2018 was going to be about. Now, 8 weeks ago, I did take over as the commander of the Australian Fleet. I command and serve a Navy that I believe would be inconceivable to Creswell today. A Navy that far exceeds anything that he could have envisioned all those years ago. And I do feel an immense sense of pride to serve a fleet of this calibre, filled with people who continue to challenge and innovate far beyond our original vision. And so today, I do want to give you a brief insight into the state of the fleet. And I have a very short film here. It only takes 2 or 3 minutes, which I'd like to show you. And that provides some context and background for the remaining part of my presentation. So, Jackie, hit it. Best and proud of the images up there. You'd probably be slightly bemused by the music of AC/DC, but... One of the points about the images there, they really are a collection of our activities over the past 12 months. But those pictures capture moments that represent months and years of training and really are a manifestation of what we do in the Navy. A key part in what we do to achieve our professional excellence is the training and exercising that we do in our own backyard. Over the past 12 months, we have accomplished many key milestones and developed a capability that we have not exercised this level before, and that is task group operations. We did a very large multinational exercise last year called Talisman Sabre 2017. It was the largest joint multinational exercise that we have hosted in the waters of Australia. There were 33 Australian, American and New Zealand sailors, soldiers and airmen, majority being our Navy, participating and demonstrating what a lethal force our Navy is. Our own amphibious ships contributed one of the biggest amphibious landings ever conducted by Australian forces. The first continued later on the year when we completed Exercise Ocean Raider. And although that was a lot smaller than Talisman Sabre, again, our LHDs led a task group through a complex air, surface and subsurface war games. And notably, we had the embarkation of the MH-60 Romeo helicopters. 2 weeks ago, we did achieve something that not many navies can boast, and that was all of our surface units, bar the two in deep maintenance, were at sea, doing what they were designed to do. And we had at sea almost 50 to 60% of our entire naval fleet. To the north of Australia, we have continued with border protection operations, and every day we maintain a presence of between 5 and 6 ships continuously deployed over the year, year in, year out. Our northern border will continue to remain important, and operations in this region will not slow down. Further from home, the last 12 months have been very busy for the Navy in overseas operational deployments. Our most significant and biggest contribution remains in the Middle East region, where we are conducting our 66th major fleet unit rotation since 1990. And as a commander that has been up there 3 times, I can tell you that every Navy up there and every country up there fights to get hold of the Australian naval asset. HMAS Warramunga is a unit currently deployed in the region, and what they've achieved in the last 4 months since they deployed is remarkable. They've intercepted 10 vessels, confiscated a lazy 19 tonnes of hashish, 1.6 tonnes of heroin, and all this valued in excess of $1.5 billion. That's $1.5 billion that would have made its way into the arms of arms traffickers and warlords. And when you think that you can pick up an AK-47 around that region for a couple of $1,000s, you do the math and you can see how many weapons have been taken off the battlefield due to the efforts of the Australian Navy. We continue with the deployment of our Collins-class submarines, 4 of which are at sea, and they have supported 12 national and international exercises. In the air, late last year, our ageing S-70 Bravo Seahawk and Squirrel helicopters were formally retired from service. The Bravo Seahawk serviced the Navy for 29 years and flew in excess of 88,000 hours and completed 64 Middle East deployments. The Romeo helicopters, which is their replacement, are the most sophisticated and most advanced ASW helicopter in the world, bar none. Okay, into the future. Whilst our achievements over the last 12 months truly have been exceptional, and we continue to meet and exceed the goals we set for ourselves, it doesn't stop there. Over the next 5 years, our Navy will continue to grow and evolve. We cannot keep up with tomorrow's challenges with today's technology. Last year, we commissioned the first Hobart-class air warfare destroyer, HMAS Hobart. She has met the demands of introduction into service with zeal, and as I mentioned before, she's now operating off the Queensland coast. She will then turn around, come down south, and make her way to Adelaide, where her sister ship, New Ship Brisbane, will come out and do her sea trials, and they will operate together. The multi-mission capability of this ship is, as I said before, the most advanced in the world, and she has a weapon system second to none, which can combat conventional and asymmetric threats. Later this year, around about October, we'll introduce the second of the class, HMAS Hobart, and the third of the class, HMAS Sydney, will be commissioned late in 2019. In the next 12 months, we'll see the decommissioning of our first tanker, HMAS Success, the first lady of our fleet, as we make way for a new fleet of supply ships currently being built in Ferrol in Spain. And the first one, HMAS Supply, will come out to Australia in 2019, and the second one, HMAS Stalwart, will come out to Australia in 2020. Government has agreed on the down select of the offshore patrol vessel. Previously, our minor surface fleet was bounded by about 300 tonnes. Our Armadale class patrol boats are just over that at about 45 metres. And we'll now replace them with a vessel at 1,800 tonnes, five times the displacement, and approximately 80 metres. And they will cut steel on the first one in South Australia later this year, the first one being introduced into our fleet around about 2021, and we'll have 12 of these offshore patrol vessels by the end of the next decade. And these will operate alongside our home affair cousins, who operate their own fleet, as we continue to do operations in the north. Our local shipbuilding industry will continue to grow. A large proportion of our ships will now be built either in Adelaide, at Osborne, or over in the west at Henderson. And those shipyards are being retooled to take the demands of Navy. And the building of all these ships represents the nation's largest ever program of shipbuilding and sustainment. Probably one of the most complex and technically challenging demands that any government in Australia has taken on. The Navy of today and the Navy of the future is exciting. It is a powerful Navy. It is state of the art, and it will continue to evolve and develop as we respond to the environment around us. We are just beginning to scrape the surface of autonomous unmanned vehicles, both airborne and underwater, and we're now doing a lot of work in the cyber area. The Navy of today may be unrecognisable to those who fought for its creation all those years ago. I don't think Admiral Creswell could ever have imagined the force that we've made ourselves into. But where we are today is because of minds like his. Minds that envisioned innovation and minds that saw something ahead of us. And they did this through their own blood, sweat and tears. Our ability to project power, exert influence and control those parts of the sea which matters most to us is my core business. And I recently returned from the sea commanding our fleet exercising in Bass Strait, and I can attest that our fleet is not one to be messed with. We owe an extreme debt of gratitude to the architects of our past, and I am extremely honoured and grateful that I can answer this legacy. Thank you for giving me the opportunity today to talk about my passion and about my excitement of the fleet. I'm extremely fortunate to be in this position, and I will continue to make this Navy great in the same way Creswell fought 178 years ago. Thank you, everyone.